how many of you are familiar with The Cosby Show, but there is this very memorable episode where Theo's math teacher comes to dinner. Do you remember that? And she's gorgeous, and he doesn't understand why this demon lady who is his math teacher suddenly is there and looks so great. And as she decides to tell him his grade, she puts on her glasses, and she puts up her hair, and then again looks like the dragon lady that she was in school each day. So as much as, ladies, you understand, as much as I'd like to keep my hair down and look sassy, it's going to get in my face when I preach, so I have to put it up. The scripture this morning is from Genesis 22, 1 through 19. It's going to be a little different in your Bible reading, but if you wanted to get it out, you may. Genesis 22. Hear the word of the Lord. God tested Abraham, and he said to him, "Abraham." And Abraham answered, "I'm here." God said, "Take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah. Offer him up as an entirely burned offering there on one of the mountains that I will show you." Abraham got up early in the morning and he harnessed the donkey. And he took two of his young men with him, together with his son Isaac. He split the wood for the entirely burned offering, and he set out, and he went to the place that God had described to him. On the third day, Abraham looked up, and he saw the place at a distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will walk up there, worship, and then come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the entirely burned offering, and he laid it on his son Isaac. He took the fire and the knife in his hand, and the two of them walked on together. Isaac said to his father, "Abraham, my father." He said, "Here, I'm here, my son." Isaac said, "Here's the wood and the fire, but where is the lamb for the entirely burned offering?" Abraham said, "The lamb for the entirely burned offering? God will see to it, my son." So the two of them walked on together. They arrived at the place God had described to them. Abraham built an altar there and he arranged the wood on it. He tied up his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And then Abraham stretched out his hand and he took the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. But the Lord's messenger called out to Abraham from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "I'm here." The messenger said, "Don't stretch out your hand against the young man. Don't do anything to him. I now know that you revere God and that you didn't hold back your son, your only son, from me." Abraham looked up and he saw a single ram caught by its horns in the dense underbrush. Abraham went over and he took the ram and he placed it as an entirely burned offering instead of his son. Abraham named the place "The Lord Sees." That is the reason that people today call it, "On this mountain the Lord is seen." The Lord's messenger called out to Abraham from heaven a second time, and he said, "I give my word as the Lord that because you did this and you didn't hold back your son, your only son, I will bless you richly, and I will give you countless descendants, as many as the stars are in the sky and as the grains of the sand on the seashore." After Abraham returned to the young men, they got up and they went to Beersheba, where Abraham lived. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. God is faithful. Now, God didn't give us the lectionary, but he did give us the Bible. And some cool people split it up into sections so that we could read the whole Bible in 3 years, or we could preach it in 3 years. I really like preaching from the lectionary. I kind of know what's coming next, unlike the brown bag of your pastor next week. I love the Old Testament as well, so this passage should suit me really well. Unfortunately, it's a really difficult passage about a father who almost kills his son. When reading the passage again and again, I did see that there is a father who trusts his God even though I can't imagine that he's okay with the request to kill his son. I see a son who has complete trust and love in his father, even when his father leads him on a 3-day journey to make him the entirely burned offering. I find hope in the father's trust in the Lord and in the son's love of his father, but ultimately in the faithfulness of God and the promise made. God is faithful. After the great flood that wiped out most of the world, God sent a rainbow to Noah, and he said, "I'll never flood the earth again." The covenant God made with Noah and his people is called the Rainbow Covenant. Of course, God had every reason to wipe out humans off the earth then, and really, I would say several times since then. But he's promised that he would never do it again, and God has kept his promise. When God came upon Abraham, he saw a man with whom he could develop a relationship. He chose Abraham, who wasn't perfect, but was trusting. And he told Abraham to leave his home and his family and his land because God had big plans for him. God gave him the promised land, good, fertile land, and a home and a wife. Well, a few, but we don't talk about those. The wife, Sarah, is the one that we talk about. God said, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will make you exceedingly numerous." And then God said, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You shall be the ancestor of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you." God made a promise to Abraham and to Sarah, and they trusted God. They laughed, but they trusted God when he said that he would give them a child in their elderly ages. The Bible says that Abraham was 100. Sarah had Isaac, their first child, together, and they continued to see God's faithfulness. It took a dreadful turn, however, when God told Abraham to go to the top of a mountain and sacrifice his son as an entirely burned offering to God. What if Abraham follows God's command not out of obedience, which would be cruel, but out of faith? Which is to say that what if Abraham trusts God even when what God asks him seems to run counter to everything God has promised? For the child Abraham is called to sacrifice is the child through whom God's promise of all those blessings is meant to unfold. Dr. Ellen Davis from Duke University tells us about this great Jewish theologian named Eliezer Berkowitz, who was a leading thinker in Jewish theology after the Holocaust. In his probing and wrenching book, With God in Hell, Berkowitz asked this question: why did so many Jews keep their faith in the ghettos and in the Nazi death camps? Why did they gather to say prayers and keep the Sabbath or circumcise their children as a sign of the covenant, even as the SS literally beat down their doors? Why did they keep blessing God as the Holy One of Israel instead of cursing the God who seemed to abandon them? As he puzzles over this question, Berkowitz turns to this story of Abraham, and what he discovers is the bottomless trust that holds Abraham together. Here's what Berkowitz imagines Abraham saying to God during those 3 days of hell as he follows God to Moriah, the place of unspeakable sacrifice. "In this situation, I do not understand you. Your behavior violates our covenant. And still, I will trust you because it is you, because it is you and me, because it is us. Almighty God, what you're asking of me is terrible. But I have known you, my God. You have loved me, and I love you. My God, you are breaking your very word with me, and yet I trust you. I trust you. What Berkowitz shows better than anyone I know is how intimate that relationship is between Abraham and God. It's like a marriage. Abraham trusts God totally with his life and with the life of the child that they share, the life that God has given them. And in the midst of a life-shattering thing that he doesn't understand at all, Abraham knows this. Life and life with God are the same thing. Like the Jews who risked their lives to observe the Sabbath in death camps or circumcise their children in the ghetto, Abraham is incapable of choosing survival, even the survival of his child, over his life with God. For better or worse, it's simply too late to live apart from God. Total radical trust is the only thing that makes sense when it comes to Abraham's submission to God. And a total radical, faithful God is in whom we place our trust. Let me say that again. A total radical, faithful God is in whom we place our trust. So what does this mean for us today? Well, there's this really cool nonprofit called Because I Said I Would. And their tagline is a promise made, a promise kept. Alex Sheen is the founder of this organization and its creator. His dad died in 2012. And so during the eulogy, Alex told the congregation that his father did everything he promised, from paying the bills to spending time with Alex and his brother to many other things. And when he realized this, he decided that at his father's funeral to give everyone in attendance a promise card that said, "Because I said I would," in memory of his father. Soon, Alex left his corporate job to run this organization full time. And he says he is bettering humanity through the power of a promise. To encourage positive change and acts of kindness, we send promise cards to anywhere in the world at no cost. People use these cards to remember the importance of their word, for promises both big and small. He has sent over 1.27 million cards to over 100 countries by request only. Here are some examples of the cards written. One said, "I will always fight heroin because I said I would." Another one says, "I sincerely will compliment one person every day because I said I would." "I'll donate a kidney to my brother London because I said I would." "I'll finish my half marathon in less than 2.5 hours because I said I would." God is faithful. God followed through with the biggest promise, which was to give us a Savior, Jesus Christ. God made good on his promise, and we continue to bathe in the fulfilled promise. We are guaranteed eternal life through Jesus. It's just amazing. The best promise ever. So what's our response? I mean, yes, we're grateful and we're thankful. We worship God. But what else could we do? Why don't we step out in faith and make promises that we'll keep? Your promise could be, well, anything. What if we made promises as communities of believers? What would those be? My challenge to you this week is to make a promise that you'll keep. Give it some thought and make it count. Then put it on a bulletin board or give it to someone else who will hold it until you've accomplished that promise. And then they can return the card to you, "Mission accomplished," because you said you would. Nothing is too small. Your children can make these promises. They can learn what it's like to keep a promise. It can be something really big, too. There was a man last summer who recorded his confession to a car accident on YouTube. He caused the accident while being drunk, and the other driver was killed. And he could have gotten out of the accident. He could have gotten out of the prosecution. He could have lied and said a bunch of things, but instead he confessed and he held up a card that said, "Because I said I would." As you leave today, I'd love for you to come up front. There's a poster board up here, and write your promise to your church. What can you do as a faithful church to share God's love and show your gratitude? You are reconciling. You are open to marriages of all kinds. What's a promise that you would be proud to make because of God's faithfulness to you? In this next year, I will work towards being ordained in the United Methodist Church because I said I would. The Lord's messenger called out to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I give my word as the Lord that because you did not hold back your son, your only son, I will richly bless you, and I will give you countless descendants, as many as the stars in the sky and as the grains on the seashore, because he said he would." Amen.